listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Drip too hard, don't stand too close. You gonna fuck around and drown off this wave. Doing all these shows, I've been on the road, and I don't care where I go, long as I get paid. Bad little vibe, she been on my mind. As soon as I get back, she getting slayed. Do this all the time, it ain't no surprise. Every other night, another move get made. Drip too hard, don't stand too close. You gonna fuck around, drown off this wave. Doing all the shows, I've been on the road, and I don't care where I go, long as I get paid. Bad little vibe, she been on my mind. As soon as I get back, she getting slayed. Do this all the time, it ain't no surprise. Yeah, every other night, another movie get made. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy to us podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Monday night.
We are.
Well, thank you for listening. Don't forget New Year's resolutions. Check out iTunes and Stitcher to leave us 5-star reviews. Mm-hmm. That's it. That is the New Year's resolution. That's what we need from you guys. It's the kind of energy we're trying to take into this 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to keep it going. If you're outside the U.S., this means you too.
Yep, y'all can leave them too.
I see the charts. We big in Botswana, okay? I want y'all to get out there and support us.
Leave them reviews.
We need these reviews, all right, guys? The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by a sexy sponsor. Adam and Eve is determined to help you spice things up in the bedroom, and they are gonna make sure that you are ready or not. Check this out. Go to adamandeve.com and you'll get 50% off of almost any item when you enter offer code TBGWT at checkout. But that's not all in that deal. They also want to include the Big O kit, which is a climax gel and a mini vibrator. Okay, use it accordingly. And also, in addition to that, they want to give you free shipping. All you gotta do is go to adamandeve.com, pick out one item. It could be anything. Lingerie, they got these costumes, they got these pillows, they got condoms, they got movies, all kinds of stuff. And then you get it half off, and then they give you the Big O kit, and they give you free shipping. All you have to do to get that deal, go to adamandeve.com and then check out. Make sure you put TBGWT in the offer code box. That's TBGWT at adamandeve.com.
You're looking for.
All right, let's get into the show. All kinds of stuff going on in the world today. Trying to see where best to start. Actually, I need to put this over here. All right, and let's see, we can start with this. Question, you have the answer, so tell me what I want to know. Do you want to funk? Do you want to funk? Won't you tell me now?
won't you tell me now? If you wanna fungal, let me show you how. Do you wanna fung with me? Do you wanna fung with me?
All right, we got all kinds of news happening today. Most of it not good, to be honest with you guys. But we're here to cover it. Employees can be fired in 26 states for just being LGBTQ. But can the Supreme Court make that even worse? Not better, worse.
Oh yeah.
The court is considering three cases that ask whether Title, I think it's 7 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 protects against sexual orientation or gender identity discrimination.
It should.
Yeah. Now, apparently, it says update January 10th. Supreme Court relisted its conference date on the three cases Friday, January 11th. So maybe this has already been voted on. Supreme Court on Friday will consider taking three cases that could determine whether an employer can legally discriminate against employees for being LGBTQ. If the court agrees to hear some or all of the petitions, it will be testing both the strength of employment discrimination law under Title VII and retired Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy's LGBTQ rights legacy. Two cases with two different outcomes in the lower courts present the court with the question of whether Title VII of the Civil Rights Act in 1964 prohibits on discrimination because of sex, including discrimination on the basis of a person's sexual orientation. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit held that Title VII does protect an employee from being fired because they are gay. In that case, Donald Zarda, a skydiving instructor, sued Altitude Express, claiming the company fired him for being gay and failing to conform to the macho male sex stereotypes of his coworkers. Altitude Express wants the Supreme Court to reverse the Second Circuit. The second case involves Gerald Bostock, who alleges he was fired from his job as a child welfare services coordinator for a Georgia county juvenile court system after his employee found out he is gay. In May, a three-judge panel for the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit ruled in an unpublished per curiam decision that Bostock couldn't sue his employer because Title VII doesn't ban discrimination based on sexual orientation. Bostock wants the Supreme Court to reverse the 11th Circuit. The Supreme Court has previously avoided answering this question, declining in December 2017 to take the case of Jamaica Evans, a Georgia security guard who claimed she was harassed at work and forced to quit her job because she's a lesbian. The 11th Circuit ruled against Evans, creating a split with the 7th Circuit Court of Appeals, which had previously ruled Title VII covered such claims. Evans unsuccessfully asked the Supreme Court to step in. This time, the court has relisted both Bostock and Zarda for consideration together, a signal the justices are giving the questions a serious second look. Well, this is on the ballot. We knew that the president gets to pick who the Supreme Court justices were. We knew that the Republicans were willing to hold up the decision of confirming the justice Obama had picked, even when it was kind of a middle of the road justice, not necessarily some uber leftist progressive judge. They still held it up so they could get you know, that rapey dude in there. So it'd be interesting to see what those decisions turn out to be, but I'm not, you know, if they decide to hear them, I'm not looking, it's not gonna, I don't know, doesn't feel like it's gonna look too good.
Nope. And you have the right to work. So basically, you're, if they rule like these people can discriminate, basically they saying LGBTQ people don't have the right to work. That's basically what you're saying. And that's dumb.
Right. If you're found out to be gay, you don't have the right to work.
That's basically what you're saying in a nutshell, without sugarcoating it and making it look pretty and bubbles. And no, you're basically saying you do not have the right to work.
And what does that mean? Like, what, gay people just not supposed to have jobs?
Right.
Like, they just supposed to go away? They gonna stop being gay because they can't find a job? Like, you're just trying to put people back in the closet. It's ridiculous. Posing as gay men on Twitter, a troll goes viral with attempts to falsely tie the LGBTQ community to pedophilia. This is a big thing like 4chan boards do. It's what they would call a quote-unquote false flag operation. They get these aliases and they pretend to be gay people on social media because all you got to do is steal some picture and, you know, put up a description in your bio. No one's confirming you are who you are on Twitter. And then they start saying stuff that are the worst, what's the best word, the worst misrepresentations of the LGBTQ community, specifically that all of them are some sort of sexual deviants that are going to force themselves on children and stuff. It's one of the go-tos that bigots use to try to like demagogue our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. And they ended up and not about nerd folks, of course, but they end up basically because there aren't gay people doing this shit, they essentially become the demon that they want us to believe exists. So now they're the ones out there being like, I am pro LGBTQ and that means even having sex with little kids. And it's like no one thinks that but you,
right?
And then you're trying to make the bad guy, you're trying to make the monster that you claim exists. Around Christmas Day, Carl Krauss and Don Collinge, anyway, started receiving emails from their fans telling them their pictures were being used to promote pedophilia in several viral posts on Twitter. They were outraged emails. They were saying, how can that be? You are not pro-pedophilia. I know that. Krauss and Collinge are gay travel bloggers who tell their followers that of gay-friendly and LGBTQ-owned businesses and communities throughout the world. They had no idea their faces were being used to promote an idea they found abhorrent.
So they stole some. So when they do that, they steal real people's faces.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, but, you know, when they do the black stuff that they do, where they try to pretend to be pro-black, but then they go out there and say all the stuff that pro-black people don't really say, they steal real people's pictures. I mean, they don't care where they get it from. Sometimes it's just a stock photo. Like, black guy with gun. So you take that picture, and then they go out there, and they're like, I love Trump, you know?
Yeah, these people getting harassed. They're like, what the fuck? I didn't say none of this.
One of their pictures for Treacher's Cross and Collins kissing in front of a rainbow flag has been stolen by a Twitter troll who went by the name Alex, an account that was created in December. The account has tweeted messages promoting pedophilia. It's frustrating to see someone misusing our image for political purposes, basically supporting an argument against LGBTQ community with our work.
This has happened on Twitter, right? Yeah, they can stop this shit. They just opt not to.
Yep. And it's weird because it's a catch-22 because there's no real verification on Twitter unless you become a verified account with a check mark.
Right.
You know, and then at the same time, some people say, well, it's good because we need anonymity, we need this and that. But I'm like, there's so much negative shit on Twitter because it is almost like one step up from Reddit. How do you regulate anything?
That's true. It is a catch-22, and we kind of talked about this before, particularly your brown people and LGBTQ people. I could see a lot of people going, I don't want my name out there. Like, Twitter is probably the only place that I could get on social media and put my views out there without dealing with a lot of the backlash, a lot of the trolling. I mean, if your account gets so big, you're going to have to deal with it regardless. But, you know, for the average person, they're never going to get that big. So they just want to be able to navigate social media without, you know, people taking them, linking them to their job, linking them to this, linking them to that. Like, a lot of people are like, if that's the case, I would just fucking get off the site.
Yep. It's frustrating to see someone use it. The account successfully spread across Twitter the deliberately defamatory idea that pedophilia is an acceptable part of LGBTQ life. Yeah, and then you have all these, like, hateful bigots who have been waiting on this confirmation so they can go quote tweet this and share this and look what these gay people believe. You know, it's one of the things about Twitter, even when it's used in a quote unquote right way and in stuff I agree with, it's one of the worst things about Twitter, which is people will go seek out, people want to dunk on you on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a lot of, let me find the person saying something silly or stupid, quote tweet them or reply to them or take a picture of it or something so that I can be smarter than them. And I'm not saying that's wrong. It's just a nature of the beast of Twitter. I'm sure I've done it a million times. I'm sure people have done it to me a million times. But in some ways, it's bad that it goes viral like that, because you do have stuff like this where people just looking for somebody to be their huckleberry. And it doesn't matter that this isn't authentic. It doesn't matter that this isn't a problem that actually exists. People will go and be like, aha, found one. And now they're sharing it and going, see, this is why we can't have gay people in the bathrooms. And this is why you can't allow them to have jobs. And this is why, meanwhile, the problem doesn't actually exist. This did not actually happen. There is not some gay person advocating this shit. The same thing with, for black people listening to this right now, in case you're not on board with what I'm saying. It's the same problem we have with voter suppression.
Mm-hmm.
They always take an example of, well, somebody voted and they weren't supposed to vote. And it's like, well, we actually did the research. There were three people and, you know.
Out of the millions of people that voted.
Yeah. And, for two of them, it was an accident. And for one of them,
they got arrested.
It was an error or some shit, yeah. You know, and then they turn around and they're like, no, we need to stop all black people from voting. It's the only way to be sure. Like, that's kind of what this shit is, where it's like, there is no real problem, but they want to make a quote unquote solution to a not real problem, you know, which is to eradicate LGBTQ people. That's all this shit is. This is nothing short of that.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, the internet has allowed people another tool to be anonymous and to do shit like this. You know, if you had to go do this with your actual face and you had to go pretend to be gay and pretend to be a pedophile, there's a lot of trolls that wouldn't want their face attached to this. They wouldn't want to actually be on TV. They don't believe in this shit that much, but the internet makes it easy. I'll just steal a picture of this guy. Now look at me. Speaking of cishet people being a danger to queer people, two women charged with kidnapping and sexual battery after following a trans woman into a bar bathroom.
Oh!
Now, I was told that trans people going in the bathroom was supposed to be a danger to the rest of us, right? All the cishet people, we supposed to be the ones that are scared, right? Right? How come we don't read that on the store, on the show? I'm looking for the articles. How come I don't read all the, where are all the reputable articles that are like, yeah, man, trans people have just been going in the bathroom harming folks? It's not happening. But I have read several of these type of articles that are us straight people being a fucking danger to someone that just wants to use the fucking bathroom. Two North Carolina women have been charged with felony kidnapping and sexual battery after they allegedly followed a transgender woman to a bar bathroom and attacked her in December. You could have just mind your fucking business.
Ain't that the truth?
Amber Harrell, 38, Jessica Fowler, 31, followed the victim into the women's restroom at Milk Bar in Raleigh and proceeded to lock the door and fondle the woman's buttocks and chest. She pulls her shirt up and says, do you want to see my boobies? And she pressed me up against the wall with her bare chest, the victim said in a 911 call immediately after the alleged incident. What the fuck are you even trying to prove? What is happening? The attack began in the bathroom when the two women followed the victim into the bar and continued to harass her, according to investigators. Harrell was arrested last weekend and charged with released on $50,000 bond. Fowler was released on $30,000 bond after turning herself in. North Carolina became the focal point of national controversy 2 years ago of transgender people's public bathroom use. Yeah, this is one of the reasons that law and the people advocating for that law are so fucking dangerous.
Right.
It's not even whether you pass the law or not. It's the fact that you rile up these bigots, you empower them with the fucking power of the state to make them think I am right to harass these people. So then they feel like I'll take it among my own self. And whether the law passes or not, you have told me that people with power support my bigoted point of view. The shit has an effect. You're not just talking theory into a fucking vacuum. You're fucking with people's real lives. That's ridiculous. I hope they both go to fucking jail.
Yes, sir. Press all the charges.
Stay your ass in your seat. Like, I'm not some pie in the sky person that believes everybody's gonna get on board with not being a bigot or not being racist, misogynistic, homophobic, all that. I don't believe in that. I know that won't happen.
Correct.
I've been in America long enough. I've read enough about America long enough to know that's an impossibility. The vast majority of people can mind their fucking business, though. You can do that. So like asking you to come around and educate and evolve and become an ally and all that shit, the vast majority of people will never ever even attempt that, get close to that, or give a fuck about that. Many of them will still actively hate anyone who isn't like them. But what we can advocate is, whether it's laws, whether it's social pressure through mocking or whatever, stay your ass at your table and mind your fucking business. That just costs you $30,000 or $50,000 or $5,000, whatever you had to pay to get out of bail that weekend. That shit just costs you money to be a fucking bigot. That was a $5,000 problem to you, a $3,000 problem.
Right.
What is wrong with you? All right, more horrible news. I know. It's all fucking terrible. I'm sorry. Another black man visited the home of Ed Buck, but this man made it out alive. Edward Bernard Peter Buck, 64, is a prominent American donor to the Democratic Party, who recently made headlines after two black men were found dead in the West Hollywood home. Police reported Buck's alleged victims were drugged after medical officials examined their bodies. Reports showed meth was the immediate cause of death for the victim, Jamel Moore, 26, who was found dead in Buck's apartment July 27, 2017. The latest black man has been identified as 55-year-old Timothy Dean, who was found dead in Buck's apartment Monday, January 7th. Both cases were in the last 18 months. Now another black man, Jermaine Gagnon, has come out saying that he too was in with Buck in the apartment where the two men were found dead. Gagnon claims Buck paid to have him flown out to Los Angeles from Minnesota and drugged him by dissolving the substance into his Gatorade before he then injected him with drugs. Buck says the first time they met, the drugs were not part of their arrangement, but on the second visit, Buck introduced meth. Yeah, so I feel like the unspoken story here, and I hate to speculate like this, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'm sorry, but it seemed like he's maybe paying these dudes, or there's some sort of sexual stuff that's supposed to be going on, because I mean, arrangement you're talking about, mm-hmm. You're not talking, so it doesn't sound like this is just like a friend within this circle. It sounds like he's finding young black gay men, or in this case a 55-year-old man, but he's finding people almost like you would a prostitute or something.
Yeah, and that's what people have been saying. People are saying that he's going out and finding these men and drugging them and abusing them.
Right.
And two of them have been found dead in his house. Like, nigga, in your house, dog. In where you breathe. They one in had your
a,
house.
One had a journal detailing exactly what the fuck you tried to do to him and then ended up dead. And by this overdose. And of course, police, nothing we can do here. You know, Democratic Party still taking his donations. Hey, he's rich, we need the money. You know, because they don't really give a fuck about black gay people. They don't give a fuck. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, they should be able to turn that dude down and say, we don't want your money. You know, it doesn't give a fuck who you donating to. So he says, he always told me, in my house, I'm the only person that can administrate. He was the only person that would give the drugs to anybody. He only smoked. He would make a needle to inject himself, but he would inject me first. I never saw him inject himself in front of me. These are his drugs, his needles. Gagnon says he never did meth prior to meeting Buck. Gagnon says the meth made him extremely aggressive and angry. It hit me. My body went to tingling. My mouth went to jittery. I got so high that I was enraged. I cussed him out, made a big scene at the apartment, and he pretty much put me out. And I changed back into my clothes. He paid me $250 and I left. You know what I'm wondering too is, he got receipts too. He got pictures, everything.
Yeah, because this is what this dude does. Like,
yeah, and these are pictures of like a box of dildos and sex toys. Ed Buck invited you flight AA2373 from LAX to Dallas Fort Worth. Buck's attorney Seymour Amster refused to comment on the accusation, saying, "We see no reason to respond to unverified accusations of individuals just trying to seek attention." Mm-hmm. Who the fuck want to seek attention this way?
Come on.
He got receipts. He got the fucking pictures. What are you talking about? Yeah, man. This is some sick shit, because this is his thing.
Right. This is what he does. This is his thing.
God damn. But yeah, somehow he's still out right now. He's not in jail. This is crazy. You can just be responsible, involved in two deaths and then another person is like, this motherfucker does this. By the way, I guarantee you there's more people that have stories.
Yes,
this person kept receipts and maybe that's why he felt comfortable coming forward, but clearly this is a thing. Mm-hmm. Some sort of fetish thing with him, black men and drugs.
Yes.
Gay people can't get restraining orders against their partners in North Carolina, but that may change.
The fuck, North Carolina?
Our state, man. Here's one area where North Carolina stands alone. It's the only state in the country that won't let people in same-sex dating relationships get a domestic violence protective order. The only state out of 50 states.
You mean South Carolina better than us? Something is something.
Florida, everybody. Now NC Attorney General Josh Stein is taking a rare step of calling the law unconstitutional in an effort to get it overturned in court. In an interview this week, he said he also plans to talk to state legislators about changing the law when they return to Raleigh later this month. Well, I guess that's good. I mean, this is why you vote. It's just nonsensical that on an issue where we work so hard to keep people safe so they don't have to live in fear, they'll be assaulted or murdered, that we would deny that protection to people just because they're gay, Stein said. In North Carolina, anyone who's a victim of domestic violence can file criminal charges against their abusers. But a quicker option is, of course, a 500B protective order. I mean, 50B protective order. Commonly known as a restraining order. The order issued by a judge can force alleged abusers to stay away from victims, lose custody of their children, or give up their guns. In many cases, gay people are legally barred from getting a restraining order in North Carolina. A prohibition that exists nowhere else in the country, according to Stein and others who advocate for changing the law. Yes, the law should be changed. This is stupid. This is literally stupid. You're not gonna make people not be gay by not protecting them.
I don't know. Do people think they're gonna blink their fingers and all the LGBTQ people are just gonna vanish? Where they gonna go?
Right. Well, if we don't respect their rights, they just won't be gay. That's actually not how that works.
Come on.
You know, it's honestly genocide on gay people. That's right. What it is. It's genocide. Because the only other thing you're trying to say is by not protecting you, your life isn't valuable. So if you get killed or injured or something, that's on you. Deal with it. You know, that's the point. We want you to not exist.
That's the whole point.
That's the fucking point. And that's one of the reasons people don't want to hear Kevin Hart talk about what's just a joke and what's not. It's all fucking related, whether he's ignorant to it or not. This is why. I know people don't want him to be responsible to that level of bullshit, but that's why people don't think it's funny. If you want to know why, it's not just them picking on him for no fucking reason. A new alumni network launched for LGBTQ people from HBCUs. Human Rights Foundation, the educational arm of the LGBTQ rights organization HRC, has announced it's launching a LGBTI alumni network for those who attended HBCUs. HBCU stands for Historically Black College and Universities. The network is being organized in conjunction with the news site HBCU Buzz. Details of the network were announced during HRC's 13th annual HBCU summit in Atlanta last week. HBCU Buzz founder Luke Lawal said in a statement, more than 1 million African Americans live in the United States at 3.7% identify as LGBTQ. This partnership may represent those 3.7% statistically, but is a step in the right direction for all of us. Leslie Hall, 29, is the associate director of HRC's HBCU program. He is a two-time Historically Black University graduate, working towards a third degree, a PhD in higher education leadership and policy at Howard University. Hall's currently based in Prince George's County, Maryland, and was happy to answer some more questions for Gay Star News about the network. So yeah, man, they talked about basically starting this network that'll help gay people, that LGBTQ people that you know, go to HBCUs as well, because I mean, it's like, that's the thing. If black people go to a university, guess what? All kinds of black people go there.
All kinds.
It's not just one kind of black person there. You might meet some different people from different walks of life. different genders, sexual orientations,
and that's the, for me,
religion,
right? I know for me that was a beautiful thing about going to Federal State, was that you realized that there was all types of black people,
right? You know,
because you know, you get around your family and your friends, you know, as a child, you know, most children, I mean, you might travel with your family, but you don't really get outside or really get to know people outside of your hometown. So when you kind of leave and go off to these colleges and universities, you actually meet people from different backgrounds, different parts of the country. You'll even learn more about your own fucking state. I know for me, I was like, where the hell is that in North Carolina? You know, so it is a beautiful experience, and it'll really open up your eyes.
Let's get into some other news. Oh, Kevin Hart is still on his apology tour of not apologizing, but apologizing.
Sorry, not sorry.
This time he went on The Breakfast Club, and despite the repeated vows in previous interviews where he said it would be the last time he would address it, it's over. I'm over that. Kevin Hart once again had more largely similar things to say about the whole Oscars thing in a new Breakfast Club interview. I didn't watch The Breakfast Club, and you know, that's I mean, what do you expect? It's not like anyone on that station can hold him to any level of task or ask him any questions that are more than, you know, too probing, because they can't hold up to their own shit. I mean, that's a platform that made jokes about killing transgender people last year. Not 2008, not 2012, last year. So what the fuck are they going to be able to tell Kevin Hart? Kevin Hart being also did a Fresh Air interview on NPR. I listened to this episode of the podcast with Terry Gross interviewing him.
I love her.
Yeah, Terry Gross is a great interviewer.
She's been doing that for years.
You know, I really like how she's able to ask questions without it becoming like hostile.
Right.
Like, she let him answer for himself, but she just made sure to ask the questions that fucking made him have to put the answers out there. That illuminated a lot, and I learned a lot about Kevin Hart in this interview that I really didn't know before, and I'm glad it was Terry Gross that was there, because that's the, I wish I could interview as good as her. Like, she's that good.
Oh, she's excellent.
But the thing I took away from the interview, well, there was two major things. One, Kevin Hart is just simply not a very smart man, and I don't mean that to be an insult, but it's one of the reasons his comedy is not really that attractive to a lot of us, is because his stand-up, he doesn't take the next level of the joke. It's not very introspective. It's very simple, basic life observations. But it's also probably what makes him so popular, is that everyone can identify with a certain level of like, oh yeah, yeah, I've had that life observation. You know, he's saying the things that I thought, and it's not that deep, but it's also kind of funny because I've thought that before, you know. There is no like Kevin Hart joke or stand up bit that we all talk about all the time. There is none. And that's not, like I said, it's not an insult. I know it sounds shady, but I don't mean it that way. I really don't. But hearing him talk and answer these questions and not try to be funny with it, it showed the like, oh, he can't go more to surface level deep. Like, he's capable of being like, these things happen. Like, when I was a kid, the idea of being gay, the idea of calling someone an insulting slur, that for a homophobic slur, these were things that happened in my neighborhood, but I didn't know anyone who was gay. I didn't, that I knew of. I didn't hang around anybody that was gay. If someone did something, we'd be like, stop that, that's gay. But he doesn't consider that bad. He doesn't consider that homophobic. He basically, as far as he's concerned, because no gay people were around to hear this, it was almost as if it couldn't be bad. It would only be bad if you were to do this to a gay person. Which, like, we've been talking about it for a week, but it's like I said last time we talked about it, that's what I got from him. Oh, he's homophobic in the I don't call people the F word homophobic. I mean, I believe that them being gay is a choice. I believe gay, I still conflate gay with weak. I still conflate, homosexuality and as like, if two men get too close hugging, I'll go, stop it, that's gay. Like, I still kind of have that mentality. But I'm not gonna come out and say anything that would, you know, purposely fuck up my bag. So that was one of the things I noticed. Actually, I think it was three things. The other thing I noticed, he stopped doing those bits in his act. And while I have a certain level of respect for the fact that he stopped using those things in his act, it was more of a calculating choice than it was a moral choice. Like you know, and as I've said earlier in the show, I'm a pragmatist. I can deal with that. I know a lot of people will still hate him for that, and there's gonna be a lot of people that don't give a fuck. It's like the only right answer is to make the moral obligation to do better with your life, and I get that, and I understand that. But as a realist, as a pragmatist, I am willing to take shutting the fuck up. That is a compromise I'm willing to take.
If, yes, it is.
I'm not trying to win hearts and minds all the fucking time. Some motherfuckers ain't never coming around. But I will take, you need to stop doing that shit.
Yep, because I just want the action to change.
Yeah, maybe you don't understand why, but that's okay. Then you don't get it, but stop. Okay? And I will take that. Because most comedians won't even do that, to be honest. Most comedians will fight you back, and I'm the funny one. I know funny. Even if I'm getting booed, even if I'm bombing, even if everyone's telling me they don't want to work with me, I have the ego that says I'm funny, and I'm selfish with it, and I'm greedy, and you better fucking laugh, and if you don't laugh, fuck you. You're the problem, PC mafia, blah, blah, blah. So I will take the fact that without really truly being called to carpet for it very hard, back in 2010, he found out through... And in 2012 again, but he heard or found out or whatever when he got interviewed, and motherfuckers start asking him questions about this stuff, and he said, oh, I'm not gonna say that anymore. And then was like, cause y'all don't think it's funny. And you know what? A lot of people have gummed down on him for that. But that's really the job, and that's all I ask of you.
Right.
It's bonus points if you can get past. Just don't do it because it's not fucking, no one thinks it's funny anymore, or it's offensive and you're pissing people off. And you claim to not be that kind of comedian. If you're a professional comedian, find another joke. You made up all the other jokes. You can't find, was that joke really a big part of the act? You can't find another joke. So I actually appreciate him retiring a bit, and I understood that. So I meant to say that was the second thing I learned. The third thing I learned too was something where I actually thought he had a point, and I just don't think he's the person to articulate it. And therefore, he is not the person I want to build my argument around. But it's something that I feel as a, well, I would call myself a comedian, not a stand-up comedian, but I'm a comedian. I make my living being funny, making people laugh. Terry Gross, and a lot of people like Terry Gross, are like, there's a thing to comedy where you need to be right. And if you're right, then it can be funny. And I disagree fundamentally. I think that's just a comedian thing. I don't know that it's a, I think there's like all this stuff that people will tell you about these rules of being funny, and you have to punch up and you can't punch down, and it has to be this, and you never mock a group based on their religion or their race or that sounds good on paper, but in execution, that's actually not true.
Mm-mm.
I've seen it work the other way.
Yes.
There's a rhythm and a craft and a formula to what is funny.
Yes.
And people don't respect it, and it's so fucked up because you have the people that don't respect it that are just like bigots and idiots, and you know, they just don't give a fuck about anything.
Right.
But then you also have these really snooty leftist people that don't respect it as if it's just some easy shit, and then without a fucking doubt, it's all of those motherfuckers are not funny.
Mm-mm. They can't even take a joke.
Every last one of these people are just fucking Debbie Downer ass niggas that none of us go to for humor, because we're like, all you do is sap the funny out of shit.
Yep, don't have a sense of humor.
So there's this middle ground that I'm kind of like, that I'm operating in as a comedic brain, and it's like, no, you can craft a thing that is shocking to my senses. You can craft a thing that I don't agree with.
Right.
You can craft a thing that is well constructed as your point of view, and I go, that made me laugh. I don't agree with it.
Yes, like, and I understand that line varies per person, but for me, if it's framed a certain way, I will laugh. It doesn't mean I'm in agreeance. And a lot of people go, if I laugh, I must be in agreeance. And like you said, that's false. it's a lot of shit that people joke about that I go, I wouldn't do that shit or I wouldn't say that shit, but that motherfucker is funny.
Yeah, and it's the thing where, you know, there's Patrice O'Neal, Eddie Murphy, some of Richard Pryor's bits, you know, shit, a ton of Def Jam's type of shit. Bernie Mac's entire, the fucking Kings of Comedy, almost their entire sets, especially Bernie Mac's. There are things I laugh at that I'm like, yeah, but you can't live life in the way that this guy is going on stage and presenting.
Right.
You know, when I watch Boys in the Hood, I don't go, that was entertaining, now I'm gonna go kill some people. You know? So I do understand his bigger point. It's just he's not the one to make it because he's not smart enough to have the nuanced talk or to talk about the deeper level of, well, there's a bunch of shit that happens on stage that's just not the rules for life. You know, and people try to do this thing, and of course it has happened to him, it's happened to every comedian, where they strip the humor from, the attempt at humor from what you're doing and just go, it's like you wrote literary prose. It's like you wrote a fucking blog or something that said, these are my thoughts, when really there is a supposed, a given in a stand-up situation, especially of, well, I'm joking, I don't mean this, don't take it too serious. Some of these jokes won't be funny, some of them will. You may find one joke funny and not the next one. It's not a check mark, we agree on everything. Another example, I agree with most of the stand-up I've seen from Bill Maher. I agree with most of it. It's not funny to me. He's not very funny. It's not because I'm offended, I just do not find it to be funny. Too much of it relies on, do you agree with me or not? And there are some people that go up for that. I'm sure he still sells out shows and tours. There's some people that go up for, like, I just want to see a guy present the ideas I believe about the world and I agree with, and I'm gonna clap after each time he takes a breath and for an hour, and we'll call that good stand-up. I would not, you know. So anyway, all that to say, like, that part of the conversation was more interesting to me. But end of the day, Kevin Hart in these interviews, man, he said he's not gonna do no more, but every time he does it, a good interviewer is gonna have to ask him those questions. And he comes off kind of defensive. He comes off making himself out to be the real victim of this shit. And I think it's just a double standard of black masculinity that people go, it's okay for him to be wrong about these things. It's okay for, he's still a good person, even though, you know, if we held him to the same standards we held everybody to, we'd be like, well, he also seems homophobic to me. You know, and the more interviews he does, the more I'm just convinced he's lightweight homophobic. It's not, you know, he would not say some of these things in mixed company. He would not call you a homophobic slur or something like that. You know, he still considers himself a good person, but he's lightweight homophobic. And a lot of it's because of, you know, just like all of us, we all have it put into us from society and we all have traces of it, but some people can't reconcile it because they know that it's bad or wrong to be that, but they don't want to ever consider themselves bad or wrong. So that's what I got from the interview. I know you haven't listened yet.
No, I haven't listened to it.
But it's a good interview. I suggest people go listen to it if you, you know, but like I said, I'll tell you what, I enjoyed listening to it. I can't even suggest y'all do whatever because motherfuckers are so sensitive these days. And Kevin Hart is absolutely right about y'all being too sensitive, PC Mafia, out to get everybody. But nah, I don't know if it would be offensive to other people or not. I didn't find it to be so. But that's the thing about my sense of humor and my ability to stomach conversations is sometimes I see other people and how, like, triggered or hurt they are by these conversations. So maybe y'all would be hurt by it. I didn't find it to be so, but it just more came across as like, oh, this dude is so out of his depth even talking about this. He made a decision a long time ago to just not do the jokes, and he thinks we should just look at that and say, that's maturity. That's being a good person and an ally. And you know what? In most of the world, that is. It's really only Hollywood and political offices where we ask you to go the extra step and, like, now you need to become an ally. And he's not with that shit. Which, if you want to judge him for that, I completely understand.
Same.
Let's see what else. French Montana on R. Kelly. Let somebody enjoy their legacy. Whatever happened, happened.
All these people. just on goals.
Talking to TMZ, said all the greats went down like that. Let somebody enjoy their legacy. Whatever happened, happened, man. What? French said he believed Kelly's goal was evident when he sang, "My mind's telling me no with my body, my body's telling me yes" in the song Bump and Grind. People don't let nobody have their legendary moments, French said when asked that people should stop listening to R. Kelly. Okay. I mean, what else is fucking German Wyoming gonna say? It's not like he's the smartest man. He has said and done some wild shit in the past, so.
Yeah, I've heard his name before. I don't know anything about him other than I know the name when it's said. Truth be told, I don't know anything else.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of his either, but this is why also R. Kelly has been allowed to cook for so long. This attitude is prevalent. He's just one of the people that will say it out loud, but, you know, there's a lot of people like this out there in the world. It's like, oh, but it's music. And that's how he's been getting by for decades now. After being on the brink of divorce, Pastor John Gray and his wife are going to host a relationship conference.
Word.
Those who can't teach.
Mm-mm.
I signed us up.
No, I'm not going.
Okay, well, maybe they could give us some advice that we haven't.
You better take the side chick.
Months after megachurch, Pastor John Gray revealed that he and his wife were on the verge of getting a divorce. The couple announced that they will be hosting a relationship conference, Build a Line, at their South Carolina church next month. One of the most impacting relationship conferences of 2019. Damn, they turned this into a hustle. You gotta give it to them. They Beyonce and Jay this shit pretty good. He cheated on her, got a car out of it, got saved by TD Jakes, and now this motherfucker about to cash all your conference coins. Your fave could never, Karen. The hustle don't stop.
No, the hustle don't stop.
Mm-mm.
Mm, no, no. Anybody asking, have y'all really healed? You know, have y'all gone through the...
No time for that, Karen. Conference starts February 7th.
No time. Anybody getting any counseling? None of that happening? No couples counseling? No. Let's take some time off. Let's actually be sure we got a foundation.
Well, by February 7th, they've had plenty of time off, Karen. And then they can do the conference. It's the 7th through the 9th, so guys, no shows for the blackout till it's the 7th through the 9th. We will be at this conference trying to
get our marriage. The hell we will. No, we will not.
Trying to enhance this marriage, Karen. Mm-hmm. Take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get a $200,000 sports car?
Nope.
All right. Wow. So you just going to keep on pushing the... You just going to keep on pushing the Nissan, huh?
We'll push that Versa and keep it going, buddy.
Wow. Guess you just can't lead a horse to water, y'all, but some people don't want to upgrade their cars.
Mm-mm. That Versa's paid for, my nigga. Mm-mm, I'm good.
Married, single or divorced, this relationship conference has something specifically for you. Gray and his wife announced on Sunday via their Instagram accounts. The conference announcement comes weeks after the celebrity preacher who leads Relentless Church in Greenville was forced to defend his decision to purchase his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini Urus for their 8th wedding anniversary. Damn, I guess he got the 7-year itch. Gray cited Ephesians 5 as part of the fuel that drove him to lavish a Venter with the expensive gift. Oh, her name is a Venter? I never heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
It also comes months after he admitted to his church that he had marriage troubles. Mm-mm-mm. Well, people still at church giving him his money, the money, so can't be too offensive.
Mm-mm. I'm good.
He gotta pay for them bills on that Lamborghini somehow, and it's gonna be through the conference.
Well, I won't be going.
I'm gonna wait to the side chick pregnancy conference, because I know that's got to be coming next, since you know his mistakes are now how he makes money. Regina King promises women will make up 50% of her work staff on all future products.
Productions. Come on through.
Yep. She won a Golden Globe, and then she gave a speech that was like, we got to do better for these women.
Right, because, you know, she goes and she's probably surrounded by men and surrounded by white people. You know, there's very few brown people in certain positions. So if they're there, a lot of times they probably don't even get to interact with the actors and actresses, you know, probably rarely, unless you bring your own staff for certain things. But some of them do because they're like, oh, I don't want to be bothered with certain things.
It's amazing how much black women are at the forefront of changing stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. It was Ava DuVernay, who I believe was the first ever woman to have a series produced, directed by only women. And then later, season one of Jessica Jones did it after Ava DuVernay did season one of Queen Sugar. But it was funny how much of the promotion for season one of Jessica Jones kept mentioning women directors for every episode. And it's like, well, Ava already did that. You know what I mean? And if Regina does this, I guarantee she'll be the first woman to have 50% of women. And you would think, because, you know, with other POCs and diversity initiatives and stuff, you can make an argument, you know, I understand you want to be overrepresented, but let's be honest, you can make an argument that, well, LGBTQ people only represent blank percentage of this type of person. So, that makes sense that we only have 12% of them working in the, department. That it's not like LGBTQ people make up 50% of the population, blah, blah, blah. But women literally do make up 50% of the population.
Come on.
So there's never really an excuse that we all kind of see quote unquote diversity as, oh, we got 13% of women in here in a room with mostly men. Diversity.
Yeah, because the thing about it though is that even the dude from that does Rick and Morty, he was kind of pushing against it, but he was saying when we let women on staff and let them fucking write, he was like, the shit, yes, women are fucking hilarious. I do not know why people don't think women are funny. Women are fucking funny. Women have to have gallows humor in order to function in this fucked up ass world. There's got to be shit that you laugh at, or it should be fucking goddamn crying all the time.
Well, Regina's not even just talking about comedy though.
But even with like Queen Sugar and Jessica Jones, people talking about, they start talking about things that women actually have an eye for, not that men don't, but women actually have an eye for that men don't pay attention to because they don't think of the importance of certain things. Because, you know, and a lot of times women don't get the praise and the accolades that they deserve on certain things because a lot of times they want to strip women of their credit and they got to attribute that to some man, you know, versus just saying this woman did a good job.
Yeah, the thing for me is just, even if you were to make the argument women are exactly the same as men and see everything the same and they do everything the same and women are just basically men without the, you know, without being men, right? They're just men, they're just equal human beings. How come no film set fucking reflects that?
Right.
Like, why wouldn't that have happened already where we're just like, yes, for every man on this set, there will be a woman on this set. Duh. You know what I mean? Like, why does it, there would be a non-man on the set for every man? There's just, the math would just add up. And surprisingly, sometimes maybe even less than 50% of the people on the staff would be the man. It's weird that that hasn't happened already. But yeah, she pledged to do that. So often everyone out there, they hear us on the red carpet and they say, celebrities, we're using the same time to talk about ourselves when we're up on the soapbox and using a moment to talk about the systemic things that are going on in life. The reason why we do this is because we understand that our microphones are big and we're speaking for everyone. I'm going to use my platform right now to say in the next 2 years, everything that I produce, I'm making a vow, and it's going to be tough to make sure that everything I produce is 50% women. I challenge anyone out there who's in a position of power, not just in our industry, in all industries, I challenge you to challenge yourself and stand with us. In addition to Bill Street, she was nominated for Netflix's 7 Seconds. Yeah, the other thing I like about this too is like when it comes to the 50% mark or whatever, it's going to get women who typically would not get a chance to have experience to now have experience on their resume.
Right.
So one of the things they use against people that are marginalized is this shit where it's like, Well, I went looking for women stunt women, but I didn't find any women stunt women, so we had to dress up some men in some wigs, and they did the stunts for Black Widow. And it's like, but how's a woman supposed to get to the level where she can do Marvel stunts if you never hire her to do Marvel stunts, and she's never hired on any other projects to give in chance to do stunts? So of course the industry just keeps confirming itself. It's how white comedians think they're funnier than everybody.
Come on.
And they're like, oh, a Black person got a show? It's like, well, yeah, if only white people are allowed, only white men are allowed to be the ones on stage. If every comedy show has five white men and one person that's not a white man, guess what that means? It means a bunch of people don't get opportunities, so you can then turn around and go, well, why there are no funny people that aren't white men. I mean, they don't even be on these shows. Like, it's that shit. So nah, that's super dope of her, and hopefully that'll change a ripple in the industry.
Yeah, you brought up a good point, which I completely agree with. It's always marginalized people that actually be like, you know what, fuck it, nobody, I'm looking around the room and nobody else has the initiative. All these people got more power, more resources, more money than I have, and they won't do jack shit, so I'm gonna work with what I got to bring people up too, you know. And like you said, a lot of times it is Black women making these charges, like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna do it myself because y'all won't do it, and give these people the experience so they can go on and do greater things in life.
Yep. All right, what should we get into next? Let me see my time. Okay, all right, we're moving to some other stuff. Let's do some fucking with Black people, guys. Boom, and I'm bringing up music, and boom. We're just fucking with those Black people. We're just fucking with those Blacks. We're just fucking with Black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with Black people. The game we go all around the world to find different articles, make us feel fucked with, and we assign points for us from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody! Yay! Terry Crews is back in the news. He's being very vocal lately. I don't know if he has a project he's promoting. I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine has come back.
He has.
So maybe he's talking about that, but he's been on several different shows. He went on, and he's like called out Kevin Hart and was like, Kevin, you need to go ahead and apologize for real and all this stuff, which is interesting because I remember he had some comments about trans people that I don't remember how that got resolved. I definitely have to go look that back up, but I think it's dope to see Terry Crews using his voice to call out another, you know, straight man and be like, hey, what's up with this shit? Anyway, he was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy.
This must be the show because everybody be on this show.
They do be on this show. That's correct. At the Real Housewives or some shit. And he got asked.
Terry, Dominique R wants to know, whose support surprised you the most when you spoke out about the sexual assault that you experienced?
Wow. Whose support surprised me the most? You know, to be honest with you, when it first happened, there was none.
Right.
For a long time. But I have to say this. The people who surprised me the most were Black women. Black men did not want any part of it.
Really?
All my support came from Black women. Mm. Straight up.
That's so
interesting. And that's kind of wild. It was. Oh. It shocked me. It shocked my family. It shocked everybody. Because I thought, oh my God, you know, here I am as a Black man saying some things that we've all been through. And a lot of guys was just like, man, you weak, you sorry, you should have hit him, you should have knocked him out, you should have did all this stuff. And Black women were like, no, no, it doesn't work like that.
Right.
And yeah. I was shocked at the split within my own community.
You really noticed that?
Mm. That was wow, weird, man.
Wow.
It was deep.
Wow.
It was yeah, deep.
Let's go to Elizabeth.
Yep. That's also that thing where I talk about, especially when we talk about patriarchy and toxic masculinity within the Black community, and we talk about Black male privilege and all this shit. This is why when I talk about these things, a lot of people think I'm coming down on us straight Black men, cishead Black men. No, what I'm coming down on is this system that is fucking with us too. We are being hurt by this as well.
Yes.
The fact that we cannot look at that brother and be like, that was fucked up, that happened to you. You didn't do anything wrong. You're not less of a man. You deserve to have the same dignity. You deserve to have the same bodily autonomy. And we support you, you know, and whatever you need from us as a community, we down to come get this justice for you. That was the only right response to him. And instead, you got prominent other celebrity black men making jokes about him, 50 Cent, you know, clowning him. And for the record, he has a really good sense of humor about this. Like, I've seen him do interviews and where he's able to laugh at it while also being like, but for real. You know, I mean, because he's a comedic actor and he's funny. I know that he gets the gallows humor of it and stuff. But there's a serious side to this that is us trying to make him feel like less of a man. Most of y'all don't want to be caught nowhere around Terry Crews if some hands is about to get thrown.
No, you don't.
So that less of a man shit don't even really fly. But the fact that you would try it, that internet would try it, social media, other celebrities would try it, because you can hide behind a screen or you can like pick at him and take him down. And the fact that it was black women that had his back to be like, nah, this is fucked up. You know, this is not right. What, you know, we need to lead the charge to get this executive out of here. Name his name and we will fucking help you and support you in any way we can to make sure this dude is gone. You know, that's one of the things when we talk about black male privilege, and a lot of black men go, I don't, there is no black male privilege. We're chastised as a race. Black men are always have somebody coming down on us. What about oppression? This is it. You know, this is the people in our community that even that have suffered under us coming together to support us when we don't always support them. That's still a level of privilege that black women would be like, I'm gonna love you in spite of everything. I'm gonna support you in spite of everything. I'm not gonna mock you and call you less of a man or some fucking like slur or some name. I'm just going to love and support you and say, you're not wrong. You're not weak. You're not bad. And you deserve justice and we love you and we're gonna help you get it and we're gonna lift you up. And he was surprised by it. You see what I'm saying?
And I guess my question is, why was he surprised by it? We're the only fucking people that support any goddamn thing. I think our money, we give our time, we're gonna support when all else fails.
I think he was surprised in the way that we take a lot of shit for granted as black men, straight black men specifically. We take a lot for granted, okay? Two, I think he legitimately was surprised because he didn't want to tell the world because he thought everyone would come down on him. I'm sure he was down on himself. Why didn't I hit that motherfucker? You know, I'm gonna lose my job. White comedians that he thought were his friends were telling him, don't say shit. This is my agent. You're going to fuck up the money. So I'm not shocked that he was surprised. I think honestly, Karen, it is surprising as a black man anytime you show weakness and anyone supports you, quote unquote weakness in quotes. That's why you got men that don't cry in front of their wives and shit, because they expect, no matter how loving this person has been, they have now seen me not at the alpha male status that I'm supposed to be. They have seen me not be the hyper masculinity that I'm supposed to be, you know?
Yeah, men fucking confuse me. Because if you're in a relationship with a woman and this woman loves you and cares about you, you're not gonna be on all the fucking time. Every second you're with her ain't gonna be beating my chest, I'm the fucking man. She's gonna see you and vulnerable. Like, that's part of being a goddamn human being. You're not a robot.
I hear it, but at the same time, one, you got society's influence coming in on people being like, this is how you be a man. You gotta hold it in. That's why black men don't go to the doctor. Men in general don't go to the doctor and shit. The other thing too, though, is a lot of men have been betrayed by women that you would think would see you at this way and be like, I can still respect that. So it's not even necessarily, like, it's easy to talk this theoretical shit, but not everyone knows how they're going to handle the day that their husband or their boyfriend or whatever is crying or isn't the strong man he's supposed to be, you know? And you know, as fragile as the male fucking ego is, they might not even be able to handle that moment. It's a, you know, It's like a, you don't drop your guard often, and then when you do, the person picking it up gotta be almost perfect, or it's gonna be a problem, because we don't even let that guard down often.
Yeah, I mean, but like I said, I do understand that, because patriarchy, women have bought into it too. Because there's a lot of women that will tell you that they don't want no soft man, they don't want their man crying, you know, and actually humiliate men based off of that. But I think that for most women, they're very, very understanding to the fact that you're a human being. And society, particularly patriarchy, it hurts everybody, but it hurts men the most, because it's like anger is about the only emotion. Anger and just being funny. Other than that, you basically can't show any form of emotion, and that's not realistic. And I guess for me, being a woman, women are forced to talk. They're forced to speak. They're forced to go through the emotional roller coasters. They're forced to deal with things. Like they're forced to look within inside themselves. They're forced to, if something happened to me, let me call my girlfriend and we can sit and talk this shit out, and I can cry and I can go through the necessary steps to help me get through this process, versus holding and having a fucking big ass ball that I don't know what to do with, that sits inside of me every fucking day and goddamn kills me and kills everybody around me, because the energy from that has to come out somewhere, and it comes out in your family and your friends and your loved ones, and it ends up being very devastating to that man and to the people around him that actually loves him.
Right, but we're not talking about the people around him. He's talking about black women in general, people on the internet, strangers. You know what I mean? Terry Crews did not expect that response from everybody.
Yeah, but
I'm saying, as a celebrity, as someone at a focal point or something, I understand why he wouldn't have that trust. Why would I fucking trust these people? Not everybody's a good person. Not everybody's rooting for you. A lot of times people do you know the amount of shit we mock? You know what I'm saying? Tyrese was crying and shit. Who was making an argument about supporting that nigga? Nobody. It was a meme. Why would he expect people to take it serious? Why would he expect to be supported? I don't understand why that's such a disconnect. He's not going to his family. I'm sure his wife supported him. He didn't say, I was surprised my wife supported me. He was surprised that black women en masse via social media and stuff were like, no, we support you, Terry Crews. We're not going to mock you the way that everybody else turned around and mocked you. Your white people mocked you. Your friends mocked you. Black men mocked you. We're gonna have your back. I can understand, because they're not living on Twitter 24/7. They're not fucking black intersectional feminist and shit like that. They don't really know the room until it happens. I don't think him being surprised is that surprising.
But I guess from my perspective, the reason why I said that is because women deal with this, and that's the connection. People are actually real people. They're real human beings, real women out there that actually care, have concern for people. And I guess my thing is, and maybe it's a disconnect for me, maybe I don't understand, but black women are the only people that support. So I'm like, where is the surprise? We the only people that fucking support.
Because it's not always that way. Look at we talk about the gender wars on this show, Karen. We talk about it. Flip the genders. Yes. Flip the genders on something. How many times do people change sides? How many times? Child support arguments, domestic violence situations. All the fucking time. We watch it happen live. Like, it was like, boom, so-and-so getting divorced, it's a woman that cheated. Wow, girl, you got to get you some dick on the side. You know, like, it's really about what's convenient at that moment. And so I can get not knowing who's going to support you, and that's why it is brave to talk about these things. That's why it does require a level of anytime you're talking about sexual assault, man, woman, whatever. It does require a level of bravery, because you actually don't know the response.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know. I have a big disconnect, because I guess I'm talking from my personal perspective. I know I wouldn't go out there and shame that man, but that's just me. Right. And apparently I'm the fucking oddball, and the internet is just...
I'm not calling you an oddball, but I just know that you... Okay, when Kevin Hart got sexually assaulted, what happened then?
People criticized him.
People mocked him.
Yes, they did.
Was black women out here supporting him? Do you remember? Right.
No.
It was when it was Kevin Hart, and he was drunk, clearly incoherent, clearly being filmed without his consent. and was being, and the video came from a friend who extorted him,
right? And it was
so we wrong. Knew it was fucked up,
right?
It was a joke. Where was all that, well, brother, stay strong shit? It just, for the gender wars, it was, you cheated on your ex-wife, here you go cheating on your new wife. We, there will be no conversation about consent around you. That, like, you don't know until it happens, to be honest. I don't think he's wrong to be surprised here, because you just don't know. Some people could have just as easily been like, you big ass nigga, you let some gay white man hold you, whatever. You know, it could have been that easy. It could have been, you just never fucking know. I'm not saying, I think it's a pleasant surprise to find that there are people that will support you. But I don't think it's a given just because we've seen how fickle shit is. If they like you, hey, well, I got your back. Same thing can happen to somebody they don't like and it's fuck them. We've seen it. We talk about it every day.
Now, I've actually seen people do that. Now that perspective, I do 100% agree with, but I guess I'm talking about, I guess just in bigger, just in everyday life, mm-hmm. black women are the only people that support, mm-hmm. and they just happen to come out online to support you because I guess in masses they like you. If you was a fuck ass nigga, they wouldn't say anything apparently. Mm-hmm. But you know, my thing is black women always support.
Well, it depends on what you own though, because black women support different shit, but it depends on what you want, because you can find support from other motherfuckers.
Yes, you can.
Tariq Nasheed don't need black women support. He not getting by with that.
Oh no,
you know what I mean? Some of these motherfuckers have decided that they will forego black women's support and even make anti-black women their brand sometimes. So you know, in this situation, I feel what you're saying, which is like, why couldn't he just have understood that, yes, we are going to support you, and I'm telling you why, because we've watched people flip on a dime. We've watched it. We cover it on this show every fucking day, where we're like, well, you know, I've seen people handle the situation this way, and I've seen people respond that way, and it just really depends on the person. You know, we've seen stuff happen with Cardi that people are like, oh, no, that's fine. And then someone else do the same thing, and they're like, that motherfucker's trash. We've seen it.
Yes, we have.
If you're a celebrity and you're living it, how are you supposed to know for a fact this is what will happen? It's okay that he was surprised, I think. It might, you know, I understand if you disagree, but to me, it's okay that he was surprised. I don't trust nobody either. I'd be fucking surprised. I'd be surprised with certain shit, too. You know, where I'm like, oh, okay, so y'all do understand my point? Cool. All right, because sometimes I cried at Black Panther on Twitter. I had to mute the tweet. That's how many people fucking mocked me. And it wasn't just black men. You see what I'm saying? It's, you don't know until it happens. And that is the trust of it, but it's also the gamble of it. And it's also why a lot of black men don't want to come out of that box. You know what I mean? Or maybe you don't understand what I mean, but my point is, as someone that is a black man that does have this box, and there's, like I said, there's privilege to it, because more often than not, we're the ones who do get supported for shit like this, even when we don't necessarily deserve it or don't have a history of the past for it. I understand, you know, and I'm sure it's frustrating, but I have been on that other side of that too. You know, I'm just like, oh man, I cried at the end of Black Panther. I never felt seen like this before. Karen, my mentions were flooded for days. You know, this bitch ass nigga, and I, like I said, not just black men.
Yeah, because women buy into it too. I'm
right. So how would he be? So why would Terry Crews not? Why would he know what to expect for sure? That's all. Why can't he be surprised? Like, okay, they did hear me and have my back on this. Why can't he be surprised?
And I guess for me, I understand the perspective. And when you talk about the internet, yes, the internet is very fickle. And so when you put it out on the internet, because I think like in real everyday life, I'm like, we don't want fucking people to support. What the fuck is this? But when you put it on the internet, you just don't know how people are going to respond. It's, they either your fave or they're not. You either like them or they don't. He's, you know, to the best of my knowledge, he ain't out here, you know, talking shit about black women and shit like that. So from that perspective, I could understand him being surprised from that perspective. But I guess from like everyday life, I'm like, fuck, we the only people that goddamn support. We here standing supporting when nobody else is. We the only one that care about us and you too.
Yeah, and also, I mean, this is what abuse does to people. It relies, it robs you of your sense of reality. Like it makes you feel paranoid and like everyone's going to mock you. Like you shouldn't even tell anybody. You should be ashamed of yourself, you know. And I understand how in his head he was scared, you know. Like,
oh yes,
that.
I understand that.
Like I get why he was surprised. And this is not, you know, not that it should matter, but this is not some black man married to some white woman that he was like, I didn't think black women would ever be nice to me. This is not some coon shit. He does have a black wife, you know. But I can get why he's like, I don't know everybody, and some of these people, I've seen how they've turned on other folks.
Correct.
It could be my turn on the Summer Jam screen, and I don't fucking know. And that's why anyone speaking out about sexual assault, sexual abuse is a level of brave, because it's a big risk. We see what happens when people come forward. People still vilifying little girls on R. Kelly. We just talked about this week. People vilify little black girls. This big black man it was gonna be different for him. You see what I'm saying? I get why he would feel that way. I don't think
I do. I understand from the perspective is that when you deal with people in general, but particularly people online, like that's the thing. You put it out there and it is what it is. You don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's how I took his comments. You know, and also to be honest, Terry Crews is one of the first people I saw overwhelming support for in that way. Cause like I said, we saw what happened with Kevin Hart. It wasn't, that's not what happened. We did not get no overwhelming support from anyone, black women or anyone. The only people that even really seemed to think of maybe it was some sort of sexual assault were people that were actually trolling for the most part. It was a lot of, well, you know, so this hang out feminist dude, you see, it was that type of response. Terry Crews was a genuine response of a lot of, and mostly black women saying, this is not right. And he became more emboldened and outspoken. He actually ended up, from what I saw anyway on social media, he learned a lot about feminism, intersectionality, and other issues. He learned on the fly in front of everybody, which is scary as hell.
Yes.
And obviously credit to him, credit to the women that supported him, credit to all the people that, I'm sure he read and was educated by and all that stuff, but I think in hindsight it's just easy for us to be like, yeah, why didn't you know that? Yeah, it's hindsight. The day that this shit was happening, I'm sure he was like, fuck, I'm gonna tell the world this thing and everyone's gonna hate me. Everyone's gonna say, Terry, it's just a fucking joke, calm down, why didn't you beat him up? You know, I know that's what he thought. And then a lot of people did, and then black women were like, but not us. And that was dope. That's dope on black women's part.
Yeah, now that perspective I agree with you on, for the fact that you don't know how people are going to respond to things when you put things out there. But I guess for me, it's kind of frustrating for me, you know, hearing him say that. And like I say, I understand what you're saying, I comprehend what you're saying, and I agree. But like I said, from my perspective, I feel as though it's like, well, damn, dog, you know. And like I said, I think it's just something to trigger within me. I'm going, well, who the fuck else is supporting black men, you know? But I got to understand, like you said, you're talking about the internet. You're talking about people that are very fickle, people that kind of sway and go back and forth with the wind. And like you said, as sex has changed, I'm on the right side today, I'm on the left side tomorrow. So from that perspective, I understand why he would be surprised to get any support. But from my perspective, I'm like, damn, dog, we the only one support when nobody else is. What the fuck you mean you goddamn surprised? We the only one showing up for any goddamn thing, for anybody that's a marginalized people, LGBTQ, we there for everybody.
Well, yeah, I you know, I under that. I understand how you feel. Like I said, the only other thing I would throw out there too, though, is the question that he was asked was, who was he surprised by? So he was asked that question. So the fact that he was surprised in his answer or whatever, you know, I think it's kind of like a loaded, it's kind of a loaded question anyway. If he would have asked the same, if Andy would have said, who did you feel most supported by? And when you said right. black women, would you feel the same way, or is just the word surprised?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And like I said, I think that surprise thing is mostly a feature of the question, you know? And I think if he would have asked him who he felt the most supported by, it would have still been, you know, black women. So, at any rate, and then it's also the catch 22, because if you take the shit for granted and just be like, well, of course they better support me, then it's also like this not appreciative shit, you know? So I don't even know what the right answer for that shit is. It's just the fact that the question was framed a certain way. He answered the question as it was framed. And then I can understand the word surprise maybe triggering or being kind of almost like borderline offensive, but I don't know. I've expressed how I felt.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, cause like you say, he was answering the question honestly, and he truly was surprised, because he go with all these people out here. And like you say, you see people doubt people out all the time. You see them flip and flop. And he was like, I don't know how people are going to respond. And with shit like that, you get in your own mind, you get in your own head. You just don't know how it's going to be received. And particularly being a celebrity where people strip you of your humanity a lot of times. And it's one thing, and like I said, it does boil down to just the surprise thing, because I was like, what? You know, but also I understand his perspective. And I think for me particularly, being a black woman, like you say, it's a balance there, because you know, we do support sometimes when we don't need to support. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes a lot of times our support is taken for granted when we opt out.
Right. Well, my other thing though is, I'll throw out there, and I don't mean this as any disrespect obviously, but black women are fallible like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sometimes when, you know, shit happens and black women not rushing in to save everybody, and they're not you know, turning the other cheek, and they don't agree, and they don't, and sometimes they do join in the fucked up things that other people within the culture are doing. So it's not always that. I understand being surprised by people in general, because I have a very low value and evaluation of people in general. You know, and I don't think anyone's going to change that in my lifetime, but you know, it's dope when people are good and when people do, but I've seen people not support folks for the pettiest of fucking reasons.
Yes, I have too.
And it hasn't been like a one-off.
Mm-mm.
I've seen it. You know, you follow the pulse of certain shit, anybody can do it. Anyone can be like, fuck that shit. You know, I've seen, black women be extremely transphobic before. You know, to a point where I had to like say something and be like, what is this? Like, come on now. And it's not fair to expect them to be more woke than anybody, you know, obviously, but
right.
It's like, you almost want to be like, hey, like, this shit is trickled down. If you feel this way about somebody as soon as the group isn't you, well then how can you look at men and be like, how do y'all treat us this way? Cause they looking at you going, well, you treat gay people this way. You know, a lot of people, this is what privilege does to everybody.
Correct.
You know, but anyway, yeah, it's a catch 22. I really think if the question was framed a different way, we wouldn't even be having this discussion.
Agreed.
So I'll just put it that way. All right. And like I said, that's no shade to black women. Just black women are human. It's not,
yes.
You know, I'll never be over here pandering, or, you know, I low key hate the like kings and queens and, you know, the black one, black girl magic, the like, people fuck up. That's okay too. You still can love people that fuck up. You know, everybody don't gotta get everything right all the time. And we all learn shit at our own pace. You know, and like I said, I don't write in with your examples, cause I really don't wanna have a lot of examples, but I recognize and understand there's a lot of black men that have felt and have been quote unquote betrayed in their moments of weakness.
Yes.
Because they finally do open up about something and they get shut down by somebody, they get shut down by a black woman in some type of way that, you know, to them is like, well, this validates me holding all my shit inside. And because men rarely open up, those moments become more fucked up because they're so fragile. They got all this toxic masculinity programming. It's like you gotta handle like a fucking egg, and the women are like, I'm fucking sick and tired of, I get the rough treatment and you get to be fucking like, you're crying, so let me be, fucking be nice. I get it. You know what I mean? I understand that, you know, that's asking a lot of people.
Yes, that is.
And it's still a privilege in there. No matter how you try to spend it, it's going to always be this privilege of being a black man in a society of black people where we get to come first all the fucking time, no matter what. You know, we just reviewed Raisin in the Sun yesterday. It was our first time watching it.
Yes.
And that was my sole real critique of the film, was like, damn. You know, like, even after all this shit, it really came down to this black man's ego getting sated first. And then everybody could be happy after him.
He was a dick.
Yeah. So anyway, it was, I did not think we would talk about that long. So,
my bad.
Wow. No, it's not your bad. I'm glad you're passionate about it and stuff. And
yeah, because I, just the way he said it, I'm like, what do you mean?
Yep. Accused of Florida rape 70 years ago, four black men get posthumous, pardons. 7 decades after being accused of raping a white woman, four African-American men were posthumously pardoned on Friday. The pardons of Samuel Shepard, Walter Irvin, Charles Green Lee, and Ernest Thomas, known as the Groveland Four, follow a long, violent story that has been symbolic of racial injustice in the state and in Jim Crow America. Make no mistake, these men were victims, DeSantis said last month. Isn't DeSantis the racist dude?
I don't know.
DeSantis, it, Florida.
The what is it? Preposterous? What is that?
Posthumously.
Word? Posthumously.
After you die.
Ah, so so they did it after these people died.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, I was trying to figure out. Okay, they got pardoned. I was like, well, okay, but then I was like, that must mean that must mean something different than what I'm comprehending.
Pretty sure this dude's racist. Hold on. Give me a second, y'all. I gotta do something.
So they didn't even live to see it?
Well, I said 70 years ago, so we'll see. Yeah, DeSantis is racist. So this is like Trump pardoning somebody. I don't trust it. And then posthumously? Posthumously.
Yeah, because when you said they was dead, I thought the people were still around, but I'm like, 70 years? That's a long time.
Four men who have their history wrongly written for crimes they did not commit. The history began in 1949 in the heart of Florida on the dead-end rural road outside of Groveland. Norma Padgett, then 17 years old, told police she was abducted and raped by four black men after their car broke down. Greenlee, Irvin, and Shepard were charged in prison and beaten that night in the basement of the county jail. Shepard's family home was burned to the ground by an angry mob. Thomas, also blamed for the alleged crime, escaped into the surrounding swamps, where he was hunted for more than 30 hours by an armed deputized posse of approximately 1,000 men with bloodhounds.
Good God!
According to a detailed apology offered to the men by state legislators in 2017, Thomas was shot dead before being either charged or tried. Greenlee, who was 16 at the time, was sentenced to life in prison by an all-white jury. Irvin and Shepard, both World War II veterans, were sentenced to death. Their capital case was appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, which ordered a retrial. But before the second trial could begin, they were attacked again. Lake County, Florida, Sheriff Willis McCall, who would later say he was acting in self-defense, drove the two handcuffed men into the countryside and shot them. Irvin was wounded. Shepard died on the spot. At his next trial, Irvin, who was represented by future U.S. Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, was sentenced to death again. Several years later, the sentence was commuted to life in prison. He died in 1969, just 1 year after being released on parole. Greenlee was released from prison in 1962 and lived until he was 78 in 2012. At the Friday meeting of the Florida Board of Executive Clemency in Tallahassee, Padgett spoke publicly for the first time about the case. According to the Orlando Sentinel, the 86-year-old did not retract their allegations. I'm begging y'all not to get a pardon because they did it, Padgett said. If you do, you're going to be just like them. The former governor of Florida, Rick Scott, had rejected calls to pardon the men, even at the state, as a state legislator, Lake County and City of Groveland issued apologies to the men and their families. But DeSantis, who promised the pardons during his campaign for office, called the cases a miscarriage of justice. Greenlee and Padgett's estranged husband, who was with her the night of the alleged rape, both denied that Greenlee had ever met his accuser. Later, a criminologist told a court that he thought law enforcement officers had manufactured forensic evidence in Irvin's case. The Groveland Four were a centerpiece in the book The Devil in the Grove, which won the Pulitzer Prize in 2013 and helped bring that story to national spotlight. On Friday, family members of the men spoke directly to Padgett Greenlee's son, Thomas, and her accusation, said her accusation and subsequent arrest of his father resonated throughout his own life. He wasn't there for birthdays. He wasn't there to help with homework. He was not there. You put someone into a situation where you not only affect him, but the whole family. So, yeah, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Oh, yeah, 100 for sure. What about the Terry Crews thing? We didn't even score it. What'd you say? What do you give it?
Oh, it was, mm-hmm. I forgot what was playing. My bad.
Mm-hmm.
I get out of 50.
50? All right. I give Terry Crews thing a 0. I wasn't really fucked with by it. I understood what he was trying to say. All right, let's get to some Guess the Race. All right.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
Ba-dum-bup. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles all over the globe, and we try to score, we try to find out who did the crimes and shit like that. And everybody playing this race is, and Karen is playing along with everybody too, and she is also a racist. All right. That was terrible.
Are we talking about, say we trying to score the racism too?
I don't know what that was. That was horrible. Sorry about that, everybody. Karen was just... Karen threw me off my game in here, guys. Oh, Karen. Oh.
You look!
Oh, my
stop
God.
Stop that!
Oh, gee. I want you to stop, okay?
I told you!
This is why I can't concentrate.
That's not me!
A strip club dancer allegedly invokes Trump's name, hurls shot glass, and slaps a patron.
Well, goddamn.
A strip club dancer was arrested after throwing a shot glass at a customer before slapping the back of his head.
Wow.
It was 11:20 p.m. January 2nd. The Post Gentleman Club had some cops call. Two men, aged 23 and 22, said they were sitting at the bar when the 25-year-old dancer approached them with an offer for a private dance. According to the sheriff's report, the older man said the dancer was repeatedly bothering the two of them about the dance offer. The younger man said the dancer got very angry at them for rebuffing her. According to the report, the men and the dancer got into it where the dancer called them racist and told them, "You must love Trump because you're racist." As she continued to yell at them and invoke the president's name, the younger man then bought her a shot of alcohol in an effort to calm her. Instead, she picked up the shot glass, threw it at the older man's head, but missed. She then whacked him in the back of the head with an open hand, causing his hat to fly off. Was it a Make America Great Again hat?
Must have been.
With the help of the club's manager, a deputy reviewed security video, which showed the dancer throwing the shot glass and hitting the patron. Neither man touched the dancer. The deputy talked to the dancer, who said she'd been drinking most of the night and appeared to be highly intoxicated. She said that after she had offered the dance to the two men, the older one called her a racist name. She told the police that the remark upset her very much because she had never been the victim of racism before. As for the alleged actions, she said she accidentally dropped her drink on the ground. She did not hit anyone, the report stated.
They bought you a drink so you could calm down, and you were like, fuck that.
She suggested that the angle of the video camera somehow made it look as if she had struck the man. Mm-mm. As for his hat flying off, she theorized that as her shot glass hit the floor, the force of the splashing liquor perhaps blasted the hat from his head.
Do you know they put two thimbles in a fucking shot glass? It's a shot glass.
What kind of CSI would that be? The dancer, Erica L. White of Peoria, was arrested and taken into Peoria County Jail, where she was booked on a felony charge, aggravated battery. She's also wanted in McLean County on a DUI warrant. What?
Goddamn.
What? I'm so surprised. She was released January 4th after posting $180 cash bail. Karen, guess the race of Erica L. White.
Erica L. White is black.
Okay. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. No Trump in the champagne room, black. black. What did the finger say to the face? Slap, black. Girl, what is you working with? Back that ass up, black. Girl, what are you working with? That's Diamond from Players Club, Terry Crews supporter, black. They probably had to turn down the Motley Crue music, white, black, Latina, black, black. The correct answer is, you should have got it from the contest clue, she was black. All right. That's the wrong applause. Sorry, I meant this applause. Some of you did miss it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, she very black.
She looked like Tiffany Haddish would play her in the movie about her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She did that.
Y'all some racist. She was. I guess I need a full body shot to see why they turned down the lap dance. Because, I mean, come on. I guess, but nobody really wants an angry lap dance, you know?
No, who wants an angry lap dance?
That's too much pressure.
That's too much aggression.
Baby, you want me?
Not like this.
All right, let's go to the next one. Two people were arrested after a fight during a church play. A fight that allegedly broke out during a church Christmas prayer on Sunday, December 16th, resulted in the arrest of two Floyd County residents. According to documents filed in the Florida District Court, the fight started between two females before the Christmas play began in church, and it spilled outside with the husband, the boyfriend of those women. Several assaults were reported in the case files, including an injury to a child. The child's mother and grandmother and the preachers claim that he was punched when he was trying to break up the fight. Just a man of God trying to break up the fight, and he gonna get punched. The girlfriend, Tabitha Ann Compton, 20, arrived with Mark Anthony Gilliam, 21, at Trimble Chapel Church in Prestonburg, where his children were in a play called The Gift That Counts. A verbal confrontation between Compton and Gilliam's wife turned physical and spilled outside. Gilliam allegedly choked his wife. The wife's mother was holding a young child and was knocked to the ground by Compton. While police arrived, the entire congregation was standing around the parking lot with a pickup truck blocking the road. According to the court documents, congregation members stated they blocked the road to keep the insiders from leaving. Gilliam allegedly lunged at an officer when Gilliam was told to turn around and remove his hands from his pockets. When the officer attempted to put handcuffs on Gilliam, Gilliam refused to put his hands behind his back and pulled away. Compton, 20, faces misdemeanor charges of fourth degree assault, child abuse, second degree disorderly conduct, according to court records. She pleaded not guilty, according to the Floyd County Chronicle and Times. Gilliam, 21, was charged with two counts of fourth degree assault, one of which is listed as child abuse, second degree disorderly conduct, menacing, and resisting arrest, according to court files in the Floyd County Chronicle. The following day, Trimble Chapel Church pastor David Bowling filed a separate complaint against Gilliam, alleging that Gilliam hit him in the face while he was trying to separate the fight. Gilliam was charged with fourth degree assault. Gilliam pleaded not guilty, and the judge ordered him to stay away from the victims in the case. Guess the race.
Black. Karen's Compton, black.
Karen's going black. Let's check the chat room. Assaulted a cop and didn't die. White, white, white. White. Cut the crap. White.
I know. I do on some pretty white shit, y'all. But somebody got the name of Compton.
White. 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 Nobody got shot. White. Lunged at an officer. Didn't die. White. Church let out all time. I'ma say black and white. So only Karen and June going black.
Pickup truck. Shit.
It's a lot of pressure riding on this one.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Against my nature, I'm gonna go white.
Okay, all right. Karen is going white, so that means June is the only one that went black, and the correct answer is white. You got it. Okay. Some of you did miss it.
Oh,
Compton's just a place where black people are from. It doesn't really mean black people got the last name Compton.
Yeah, we got Ford trucks and acting the fool and shit.
Mm-hmm. And then nobody got killed.
Right.
People was fighting cops. No one got shot.
Resisting officers.
Right.
Smacking everybody up.
White people acting up at the damn nativity scene.
Right. And the church didn't have 45 names.
Stop it right now. This is stupid. This is absolutely ridiculous. Get out of here. We are adults and this is ridiculous. Cut the crap.
All right, bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right, double the points, double the race. In the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2.
Woo-hoo!
Can she keep it up?
I'ma try.
Let's find out together, shall we? All right, Karen. Bonus round. Everything's double the racism.
Okay.
Wyoming, Pennsylvania. Police say a woman smashed her way into a closed Pennsylvania police station looking for an officer she'd been sexually harassing ever since he arrested her.
Holy shit!
That's some pressure right there.
Come on!
He must have arrested her real good. Police say
he must have put them cups on real sexy.
Police say 27-year-old Ashley Keister of Nantes.
He must have been like, hey girl, I'm gonna have to arrest you.
Right, he must have been like one of those strippergrams, except
come on,
he was actually just a police officer.
A regular police officer. But like this, he was doing his normal ass job, but what she heard was, hey girl.
Mm-hmm. We got a noise complaint.
Yeah, that's what she heard.
What? That's right. We got a noise complaint. Let me go ahead and strip out of these shorts.
I know. Put on your red dress. What was it? What's happening here? Where is music coming from?
You got the right to remain silent.
Yes,
all
you
over
do.
My body.
That's what she heard, but the officer was probably just doing normal shit. Mm-hmm. Going, yes, ma'am, can I see your license and registration?
Right. Oh, I'm gonna register your ass for some of this pussy.
Would you like my number also, officer?
Mm-hmm. You got a license for some of that dick, sir? Because I got that license.
You got a license to kill this pussy.
Yeah, police say it's 27. Police say.
They didn't know what was happening.
License to kill this pussy.
Yeah, charge and batter his ass.
assault and batter.
Yep, charge and batter, assault and batter. You battering something.
The baby batter.
Come on.
Police say 27-year-old Ashley Keister of Nanticoke used a large cigarette butt receptacle to smash glass doors into the West Wyoming police building around 12:45 a.m. Monday. Once inside, she started rummaging through filing cabinets. What's she looking for? Where's his number?
Anything to get him back on the scene.
I smell like him over here. West Wyoming Police Chief Curtis Nocera says Keister had been under investigation for harassing an officer who arrested her last year. He said she sent sexually harassing messages on social media and would call 911 just to talk to him.
Holy shit!
What?
Somebody be like, help! Help, I'm dying! Ma'am, I got to go. No, you're gonna hang right here. My house is on fire!
Hello, 911, how can we help you? Is he there? Put him on the phone.
Right now.
Put him on the phone. Ashley, you can't keep doing this. This is 911. I just want to talk to him for a little bit. Okay? Please. Don't be this way.
I got a class A felony and the A is for ass. Ma'am, we're going to need for you to stop playing on our phone line.
Can we talk?
Yes.
Of a minute. Ma'am, please stop playing Tevin Campbell in the background.
No, he don't want to know you. In fact, he knows your name.
Right, Ashley. No, don't make us come out there. I mean, I don't mind if y'all gotta arrest me again, just can you make sure it's Officer Jones? The break-in was
I know this.
She's out doing crimes.
I know, they was like, we're gonna have to charge you for a misdemeanor number 3 felony. Oh, I got all 3 ways he can do all types
mm-hmm.
of shit to me.
I need to be searched thoroughly.
Yes.
Because I definitely stuck some things inside of myself. Oh, okay. We will have a female officer come out and do that.
No.
Oh, no. No, it's an emergency. No. He needs to do this right now. Mm-hmm. And only one man got the fix.
I need to be strip searched. Ma'am, please quit calling our phone line.
Is that your police baton? Are you just happy to see me? It is my police baton, ma'am. Please back up. It is absolutely my police baton.
I see you bought your cuffs this time. Man, I always bring my cuffs there on my side. What are we talking about here?
The break-in was caught on surveillance cameras. Keister was charged with aggravated assault on a police officer, burglary, and vandalism. A message was left with her public defender seeking comment. Guess the race.
Oh, this is a white woman.
All right, let's check the chat room. Breaking into the police station.
Into!
Did she walk up to the office when they was open? It was like, they was like, ma'am, he's not here, and we are closed. And she was like, I'll be back. Stalking a cop, white. Fatal attraction with a 53% haircut, white. Whiter than a Kaiser roll with double mayo and unseasoned lunch meat, white. Trying to get into jail versus getting out, white. As mayo mixed with saltine cracker, sour cream, half and half, and long grain Uncle Ben's rice. She did flip the script, white. White as fuck. I would not be ignored, white, 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 white. Only a white person breaks into the police station, white. Oh, she whitey white, cooking a rabbit in your pot, white. Calling 911 for its unintended purposes, white. Yo guys, I listened to that whole Kevin Hart interview. He said a lot of things, but you want to know what bothered me the most? He said multiple times intensive purposes.
Oh, it ain't it?
For all intensive purposes.
That's not how that's,
it's intent and purposes. And what killed me the worst was one time he said it right. So he said intensive purposes like three times, and then the fourth time he was like, you know, because whatever your intents and purposes are. I was like, this nigga, he knew. Oh, sorry. I don't know why that shit bothered me. That was the one that bothered me of all the things he said. So much shit. And that was the one where I was like, this nigga canceled. All right, anyway, back to this. White, let me smell your dick, officer white. The correct answer is, and of course you guys went unanimous on this and you all got it, white. That's her right there.
I know, after a while they was like, don't answer, tell her I'm not here.
Yeah, they don't got call ID,
right?
I guess you gotta answer every time in 911, just right. in case
real people are dying, ma'am, get off my telephone. Be like yes, 911, can I help you?
Hi, this is Ashley, and I got a code 69 going off in my bedroom right
no,
now.
Ashley,
it's an emergency.
We can send an officer down.
I need it to be Officer Jones. No. If it's not Officer Jones, I keep it.
No, on our record, we only are sending female officers, ma'am.
Then can you send them on out? And then that means Officer Jones will be in the police department unprotected. So that's even better. Send them all over here, all the women. Tell them stay away from my man too. Bitches. Sore ratchet this time. Oh my god. That's they really flipped the script on that one.
Come on.
Heard the police stalking women. Never heard the other way around.
I know. She broke into that shit. She was like, look, I'm gonna find them. Yeah, I'm like everybody else. What the hell does he look like? Because the way she acted, he got to be fine.
I was a good dick over there.
What?
Argument over a car leads to swing.
He showed up and all she hears, I got the magic stick. Hey! He's like, what? Where's this music coming from, ma'am?
That was his.
This is not reality.
That was on his car.
Yes!
That was instead of him turning on the siren, that was what came on. Ma'am, you are under arrest. Why are you looking at me like that?
You can arrest me any day, baby. Woo!
I'm gonna need you to put your hands behind you.
Hey, pull that magic stick out, baby. Do that thing.
Ma'am, can you please stop? Can you stop grinding on me? Can you please stop grinding on me?
Arrest me. I want you to do bodily harm to me, officer. Hey.
I'm gonna need you to strip search me. You sure you don't want to strip search me?
Strips. In fact, I go ahead and start for you.
I definitely got something on me.
If not, I can go find something to put on me.
I got a little surprise in here for you. I need you to find it. Can you strip search me with your teeth?
Yes, all your teeth in your hands. She was like, touch my body. Hey! He was like, what the hell is this?
Gainesville man was arrested after being accused of arming himself with a samurai sword and swinging it at his brother.
Wow, white.
According to Gainesville police arrest report, Andrew William Mangus was in a argument over using his brother's car. His brother refused because he claimed that Mangus was drunk and had a suspended license. Well, those are two valid reasons.
Right?
I don't understand where the problem came in.
Right? You ain't got to do, I wouldn't let you drive either.
Swords make people irrational. Mangus armed himself with a pocket knife and reportedly said, I'll kill you. When his brother tried to get the car keys back after being disarmed, Mangus then grabbed a samurai sword and started swinging it toward him. His brother managed to remove the sword and called GPD. When questioned by police, Mangus claimed that he grabbed a knife in self-defense and denied ever grabbing the sword. Mangus was arrested and is charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and battery. He is in county jail on $20,000 bond. That's crazy.
Right.
And you know, his brother might have saved his life.
Come on.
Don't know why I appreciate good brothers. But he might have saved that motherfucker's life. He'd been wrapped around some pole somewhere.
Right, or killed somebody else.
And you got the nerve to come in with a sword. Are you out your motherfucking mind, nigga?
Right.
People crazy. Alright, guys, that's it for today. Boneless wings are just chicken nuggets already dipped in the sauce. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.